You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by Dr. Dale A. Meyer. Its title, Children Caring for Parents. And now here is Dr. Meyer.
John had quite a day. He'd been a disciple of Jesus for several years, but this Friday was a day unlike any other. His dear Jesus was executed on a cross. Something else on this Friday really changed John's life. John got a mother. A second mother, actually. Obviously, John had had his own biological mother. His mother was married to Zebedee. Her name may have been Salome. But this day, when Jesus was crucified, John got another mother. Here's how it happened. John had come with several women to be with Jesus in his death. One of those women who came with John was Mary, the mother of Jesus. This was the love of a mother. She came to be with her dying son. During his early hours on the cross, Jesus looked down at Mary and John, and Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, there is your son." Then he said to John, "There is your mother." In other words, John, you take care of Mary as if she were your own mother. What did John do? Years later, he told the story in the 19th chapter of his gospel, and John said this, "From that time on, this disciple took her into his own home." On that Good Friday, John had become a caregiver. Standing before the cross of Jesus Christ, John became a willing caregiver. That's what the cross of Jesus Christ does for people. When God's Holy Spirit takes you into the heart of the gospel, when by faith you stand before the Savior who said, "Greater love has no one than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." Learning from the gospel that the Savior died and rose again so that all people might know God's love, this God-given faith makes people willing to care for others. It made John willing to care for Mary, and today many adults have had to become caregivers for their parents. Please don't think that society is the same as when you grew up. It's not. Today the population is getting older. In the United States, for example, 12.5% of the population is over age 65. At the turn of the century, it was only 4.1%. That's a threefold increase in the percentage of people over age 65. We're an older people than we've ever been before. And more of us are living to an older age. You know, what an event it was when someone lived to the ripe old age of 100. But listen to what Dr. Ken Dykewald says about reaching 100 today. Most mornings on the Today Show, Willard Scott congratulates somebody on his or her 100th birthday. Such birthdays are not rare. If Scott were to congratulate all the centenarians in the country in 1988, one each morning, it would take him 180 years to do it. Society has changed. We're older, and more people are living longer than ever before. Now, most older people lead active lives and can care for themselves, but there are many who can't. Today, almost 75% of caregivers are women. And because older people are living longer, many of these caregivers also have children. 25% of the people who care for elderly parents have children under the age of 18 who are still living at home. In other words, these adults are caught between elderly parents who need care and children who still need much attention and guidance. Think about the implications. The elderly person needs the caregiver's time. The children need time. The poor person in the middle only has so much time to give. If the caregiver has brothers or sisters, there often are arguments about the quality of care that is being provided for mom or dad. The person caught in the middle is trying, and here comes brother or sister throwing stones. There can be a strain on the caregiver's health. 16% of caregivers say that their health has declined. 25% of wives who are caring for their husbands say their health has worsened. The strains can also lead to substance abuse. It's reported that caregivers are 2 to 3 times more likely to use mood-altering drugs, and 12% say that they cope by using liquor. Caregiving costs money. Some of those bills end up being paid by the children. The person providing the care obviously can't be out working. 22% had to quit their jobs in order to care for someone. 55% had to reduce the hours they were working. That cuts your income. These statistics come from The Caregiver's Guide, written by Gerald Greenberg, Marilyn Boyd, and Janet Hale. Yes, society has changed. More and more of us are older, more people need care, and some adults are caught between older and younger generations, and it can really be tough. The point of my message is that caregiving can be a good and satisfying work for you. I didn't say easy. I did say good and satisfying. Many caregivers report good things that come from caring for others. But how can it be good and satisfying for you? Standing before the cross of Jesus Christ, John became a willing caregiver. When you let the Holy Spirit of God bring you to the cross of Jesus, you too can be a willing caregiver. I believe in the Holy Spirit. That's what we Christians confess in the Apostles' Creed. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God. He brings you to know Jesus. When you realize that you just can't cut it with your own works, the Holy Spirit brings you to grace. He brings you to this joy and peace that comes from faith in what Jesus has done for you. That's the care that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, gives to you. Faith in Jesus moves people to do good works. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, "By His grace you were saved through faith. It was not your own doing. It is God's gift. It is not the result of anything you have done, and so no one may boast. For He has made us what we are, creating us in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." One of the good works God has prepared for many of us is caring for parents. Now, of course, our good works aren't always perfectly done. The believing Christian makes mistakes. The caregiver will make mistakes. The caregiver may come to the sad realization that she or he can no longer give care. Mom or dad is going to have to go into a nursing home, and that's a hard decision. Being a caregiver, doing good works, is not always easy. It can involve physical, emotional, and financial sacrifice. But the Spirit's gift of faith brings us to the cross. We become willing in gratitude to assume the little crosses of caring for our parents. Martin Luther said this in a sermon from the year 1523. "When the Holy Spirit comes, He makes the heart joyful, willing, and happy, so that it freely goes and gladly and with good heart does all that is well-pleasing to God and suffers what has to be suffered." There is suffering when love for the Savior prompts you to care for a parent. There's more suffering possible when you're sandwiched between parents and your own children. But like Luther says, the Spirit of God can give you a heart that is joyful, willing, and happy, so that freely, gladly, and with good heart you do your best to give care. No wonder Christians are glad to say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." We believe something else about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit brings you to faith in Jesus, He also brings you into the fellowship of the Holy Christian Church. Do you know what the church is? It's essentially not a building or a denomination. It's a gathering of believers around God's Word and sacraments. That means that you're not helpless and alone. Many times a caregiver can feel totally helpless. You're not able to do all that is expected of you. Sometimes you have to do something that mom or dad doesn't like. It's not that you're disrespectful or disobedient. It's not that you don't honor your father and mother. No, sometimes it's very clear that you have to go against their wishes for their own good. Something like years earlier, when they went against your youthful wishes for your own good. Caregiving can make you feel helpless and alone. So what a great thing it is, therefore, that the Holy Spirit calls you by the gospel into the Holy Christian Church, into a fellowship of believers. Here's twofold help and support for you. First, the church offers you the help and support of God through the Word and the sacraments. These are the means through which the Holy Spirit administers His care to you. The Holy Spirit has bound Himself to the preaching of the Word and the administration of the sacraments. So, when you're having trouble coping with your role as a caregiver, or for that matter, when you're having trouble coping with any kind of task, for what I'm saying here really applies to all the works that we have to do in our lives, when you're having trouble coping, the Spirit helps you through the Word and sacraments to bring you again and again and again to the cross of Jesus' saving grace, and the Spirit motivates your thankful heart for another week of good works. Since the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel into the Holy Christian Church, you are, here's a second support for caregivers, you are surrounded by fellow believers. They have words of faith to share with you. They have experiences that can help you. Some of them have been through the struggles you're coping with now. Some of your fellow believers are trained professionals. They know answers. Because they know what the grace of God in Jesus Christ is about, these true brothers and sisters of the faith will be willing to encourage and help you in the good work of providing care for an elderly parent. To every day of caregiving, the Spirit also adds an eternal perspective. You will not bear the burdens forever. In the Creed, we confess, I believe in the resurrection of the flesh and the life everlasting. Someday, God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Someday, like St. Paul, you will say, I have fought the good fight, I have completed the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is waiting for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who are longing to see Him come again. Someday, like St. John says, you will have been faithful unto death, and Jesus will give you the crown of life. But all of that is someday, not now. Now is not the time for you to wear the heavenly crown. No, now is the time for you to seek the help of the Spirit so that you remain faithful to the grace of Christ. Now is not the time when the righteous judge appears to take you to heaven. No, now is your time to fight the good fight, to run the race, to keep the faith. Now is not the time for you to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. No, now is the time for you to be a good and faithful servant and to do that well. It's not easy. A caring Christian can tell you that. A Christian can also tell you that you don't have to be consumed by the problems of your life, whatever those problems are, for the Spirit of God can give you a heart that is joyful, willing, and happy, so that freely, gladly, and with good heart, you do your best to give care to those in need. Led by the Holy Spirit through the gospel into the Christian gathering of believers. Led by the Holy Spirit through God's Word and sacraments to stand at the cross of Jesus Christ, your Savior. Moved by the Holy Spirit to believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Like John of old, you can stand before the cross and become a willing caregiver. No wonder we Christians treasure these words, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.